Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han Tron. Han, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, Jim. Just fantastic. You know, I just kind of noticed by about 6:30 down here in Florida, the sun is out, so the sunshine doesn't last, you know, until 9 o'clock or so. It makes me feel kind of grumpy.
Yeah, that happens up here too, but unfortunately we don't get as much sun as you do, and it's a lot chillier. We're dealing with temperatures in the, you know, the 40s in the highs, and, you know, you're probably dealing with temperatures way into the 80s still, at least the high 70s. Yeah. Be that as it may, things are doing okay. We're safe. Obviously, welcome to our listeners. Tonight's show is kind of an interesting one because of all the things that have just happened over the last several weeks. Welcome to Straight Talk, episode number 93. And we're going to talk about, are we looking at another COVID-19 shutdown? Now you say, well, that's a heck of a thing to talk about when we're dealing with dental design. Well, actually, it greatly affects, and Han and I were talking about some of the things during the show, and I guess one of the interesting aspects of, especially Han's area, you know, if you have a hurricane coming, it's out in the Gulf, or it's out in the Atlantic, and it's coming towards Florida. What do you do, hon?
We prepare for it.
Yeah, you board up the windows.
You stock
right?
up, yeah. Yeah, you, stock up your food supply. Yeah, you do all the things that just in case.
You prepare your, you know, if you're going to leave, you're going to prepare where you're going to go. And
yep.
The last time we have a COVID shutdown, nobody knew it was coming. That sucker just hit us and hit us hard. And you know, the reactionary thing, and we could debate all night long about whether it was good or bad to shut down the country. That's not what we're here for. What we're here for is to help you prepare and help you plan and help you make the right decisions for your business. Now, this time, we're hearing the warning signs again, right? Cases, even here, cases in Ohio are up. Cases in other parts of the country are up. There's more cases every day. Now, is it a combination of it's getting colder, people are moving inside, and so we have more contact with each other, and effectively, you know, the virus can spread easier? Or is it we're getting more and more testing because there's more testing available? And that's showing that there is, you know, gives you more numbers. So if you get more numbers, obviously you're going to get higher cases. So, you know, we're not going to jump into the political aspect of, you know, who's right, who's wrong, what's the right direction, what's the wrong direction. Again, we want to just have you be prepared and discuss the things that relate to this. And you may say, well, okay, that's an interesting thing. But, you know, even today we've heard that parts of Chicago, if not all downtown Chicago, they're doing restrictions on restaurant, bars, all that stuff is all starting back up again. So what happens if it gets even further and down the road we get the restriction that says the recommendation might be dental offices have to close again. So I guess, you know, the question would be raised, if there's a second shutdown, do you have options? And Han, what do you think? I think we have, there's a bunch of options, right?
Yeah, I think probably more speculative than anything, Jim. Like you say, on the first round, when they shut down the world, we were caught flat-footed. It was almost like, oh my God, where the world's gonna, the world's gonna burn, and we're all gonna die. So let's shut it down. Everybody go inside. Nobody touch anyone. Don't talk to anyone. Don't even touch your own self.
Breathe every other breath. Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, I think there's a lot more information that's available. I think we, the health world, scientists and all that, and including the population, have a better, a better guess of what it is they can do and so on. So I myself, I'm a little more optimistic. I think I don't think that we're going to go to a second round where they're going to basically shutter up the world and put a deadbolt on it and wait until the world kind of regenerates itself. But I think it's more if we shut down, what do we shut down? Is there exceptions? Okay, like when we do design. We start with a blank piece of paper, and we identify the limitations that we have to work around, the height of the building, the largest building we can build on a certain parts of land, and the exceptions that we can, if we want to do this, this is what we have to provide and so on. So I think there would be exceptions. So how does that apply to a dental office? Okay, because that's what we're talking about, is that for a dentist office, if they shut down, because it's, I can't say that the government classifies essential or non-essential, but I do believe it's considered non-essential. But let's simply say that if you are as a business, if the local government or even state government say, okay, we're going to shut down, but is there an exception? If you have this or that in place to minimize risk, minimize infections, exposure, contaminations, and what have you, then you can open. So what could that discussion may be? And I think that is more likely than simply they shut down and we're going to fight them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's the crux of what I wanted to talk about tonight, at least in this segment, is that what are those things that you can show? Three groups. One, you want to show your staff. Two, you want to show your patients. And three, you want to show potentially any state or governmental agency that might ask. You're going to be put under scrutiny. More than someone else, because Han, you said it right. Right now, dental offices are not considered essential. Okay, only the emergency kind of cases where they're trying to keep people out of the hospital is effectively what's essential. Other than that, it's non-essential. But obviously, it's essential for your business to stay afloat. It's essential for your staff to be able to continue to be paid, for you to make money, to be able to keep the practice moving. So it's essential for that aspect. So, to have that extra scrutiny, I know if I was in your position, Han and I, we've talked about this, we'd have an outline or a plan or at least something written down that says this is what we have done and why we've done it to prepare for and to provide a clean and, I won't call it sterile, but at least an environment that is not conducive to the spread of COVID. And we're going to talk a little bit about the other issue that we're going to run into, and it's flu season, right?
Yep.
And what are the symptoms of the flu?
I don't feel good. I have a temperature. I got a runny nose. I sneeze. I got a headache. My body feels achy. I have low energy. I have no appetite. My eyes is burning. I'm tired. You know, all
a
that gamut.
A
coughing like,
in exactly yeah. the same symptoms of COVID. So,
yep.
You know, you guys have got actually a pretty difficult situation coming. You know, it may only be the flu, but you have to almost treat it like COVID because you don't know. And so you got to have this plan, or at least this outline, or this written down. What have you done within your practice? What systems have you put into place? What procedures do you have to be able to make your dental practice one that, it, you know, doesn't facilitate the spread of COVID within, you know, within the walls of your building? Well, we can't list that down for you tonight because obviously each one of them is going to be different for each one of you, but you should have that. You should have that written down, and, you know, we can talk about some of the options, but, you know, you've got to show that your patients have a safe environment. Things that we would be, obviously, we've talked about before. Listen to all the podcasts that we put on this. I mean, have you had, you know, UV lights installed in your ductwork? To us, we think that's kind of a no-brainer. Yeah, it, you know, maybe it costs you several thousand dollars, but at the same time, it works for the airborne pathogen. It kills it. And you run it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and anything that gets in the air, that gets into that ductwork, will eventually be destroyed by the UV light that's in that ductwork, if you put it in the right system and put it in the right place. So, you know, that's one step. Three shows ago, Han, we had Dr. David Crank on from Aerosol Solution. With his specialized at-the-source filtration system that, as what we thought, looked really pretty good. Looked like it would do the job and at least help mitigate the spread of aerosol throughout the building from the procedure. Now, you know, it's not that one silver bullet that everybody's been looking for, because I don't think that silver bullet exists. But, you know, in combination with, seemed like it would be a pretty good system and seemed like it would work well. You know, have you looked at, or are you thinking about, or better yet, have you installed one of those systems? That would go a long way. Well, I mean, didn't Dr. Crank even say that, you know, he said, I'm not shutting down the next time. He said, I won't have to, because I can prove to anybody that my system will have a clean environment within the operatory. That's a pretty strong statement to be able to say, but he said, I've got the proof and I can show anybody. So he's not worried. He's got that paperwork. He's got the proof. He's got the ability to say, I'm not worried. Shut down or no shutdown, another series around, he said, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, at this point, what had been set as a standard minimum requirement is, you know, you still have to practice that 6 feet social distance, you know, temperature, that sneeze guard. Your PPE when you treat the patient. There is not a mandate that in place where say you have to remove the aerosol, extract the aerosol out of the air within the operatory, or anything of sort. However, when the guidelines and codes are set as a minimum, minimum level, that you have to meet, that don't mean that you got to stay there. You have to be a little bit more proactive. It's just our opinion is that, again, we don't sell any equipment or apparatus or anything of such. We don't get kickback from anyone. We're not married to any companies. So the things that we share are mainly based on the things that we research and our professional opinions of what we felt is advantageous or give you a net positive for your investment. Because this knee guard, in my opinion, that's a joke. I spent a few years of my life in restaurants. You remember those buffet lines and they had those sneeze guards? They don't necessarily sneeze in your food. That's what it's prevent, but people touch everything. Okay, so you can't. We will make the human race will make terrible laboratory rats because we contaminate everything. But it makes you feel good. If we can study the flow of the airflow, the air current, when somebody sneezes, that 3 foot wide barrier, plastic barrier, it may protect you from getting the big droplets. But the horde of viral matters, it's not going to stop at that, at that sneeze guard. They're going to go around it. Okay, but anyway, I'm digressing here, Jim.
No, actually, you're not, because I think our listeners have to really understand that there are solid solutions to trying to keep your space COVID-free, and then there's those band-aids that are more superficial. And you pointed out that superficial band-aid. Yeah, social distancing.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah,
social distancing. It makes you feel like.
We've got science that says the airflow and particles can travel 20-some feet. So where did 6 feet come from? I don't know. I think
probably,
it's just a matter
probably
of... They pulled a number out of their backside. 6 feet.
Maybe that's as far as a person can spit, but they don't take into consideration that just the human activities within a building, okay, stir up stuff. It would get things that are, the dust, the broken fiber from the carpet, your clothes, your skin, things that you shed, it get airborne into that, into the environment. And then on top of that, the environmental, the artificial mechanism you would put in a building to keep us comfortable, the heat, the cooling, the HVAC system, it blows the air around the building, recirculated. So within that airstream that keep us comfortable, all that particulates get circulated. So the 6 feet social distance, it makes you feel good, but it really doesn't do much.
And on top of that, masks. We could go on for hours on the debate on whether masks work or don't work. What kind of masks do you have to wear? What kind of masks should you wear, and how to properly wear them? That's not the issue, but the issue is, what systems do you have in place? I mean, we've also had, Mark Bly on from Germ Free Innovations with, his cleaning technology. And, that's a good system. Maybe that's something that you've installed or that you've looked at, or some similar kind of system that you're utilizing to help mitigate and sterilize your practice. You've got to have all of that kind of down and have it ready to be prepared. Because heaven forbid, what's your plan? We heard today one of our clients that we're starting to work with, wasn't today, I think it was the other day, he's tested positive for COVID. What's your plan if you as the dentist in your practice test positive for COVID?
I think one of the major discussion right now on downtown is, well, it's flu season.
Right.
Okay. How do you deal with it? Because all the symptoms is pretty much the same as COVID-19. Is it COVID or is it COVID-19? Okay. If a staff member call in and say, I don't feel good, I have a temperature. Well, is it a temperature from a cold? Or is it a symptom of COVID-19? So do you quarantine them? The answer is more likely out of defensive medicine, you quarantine them. You take no risk. Okay, you take no chance.
Right.
So how does it? So what do you do? And I mean, as far as staff, you know, employees, you can limp along, or you can have on call staff, or hire from manpower, whatever the source is, where you get additional staff members to augment the staff that's out due to in quarantine and so on. But ultimately, if the owner, the dentist, tests positive, you basically shut down. So, but in a more of a mindset of the precautions, the defensive process that you need to do for your for your practice, so that it minimizes that. And I think to simply say that you're going to have a building or an office that are zero COVID in existence, that would set just, in my opinion, it would just set yourself up for legal issues, because you can't guarantee that your environment is without COVID-19 present. Everything that you do, would just, I think it would be just setting yourself up for a problem to assume that your environment will be COVID-19 free. You can greatly minimize the viral load from COVID-19 or any other infection, but it had to be done. You can't simply say, I'm going to put on, the sneeze guards, and we're going to wear masks, and we're going to keep the 6-foot distance, and that will protect all of us. The stuff that I've read have not convinced me that is the is the safest or the safeguard. There's got to be more that you have to do.
Right. That minimum that they have, meaning the general public, has felt was comfortable, is not good enough for a dental office. And, it might work for some other kind of facility, might work for a general office, take your temperature, that kind of stuff. But that's not good enough for a dental facility, where you're effectively creating a ton of aerosol, which is the exact source of where this pathogen lives, and you're spewing it into the airstream of your building. Talk about a recipe for the worst kind of exposure. That's one of them. I mean, when you try to outline, how can I best create something that would expose as many people as possible? Well, yeah, that's the description of the dental procedure. So you've got to do something. Hopefully you've thought about that, or at least are thinking about it and being ready to be prepared to do something. And then I guess that kind of jumps into the next part of this discussion, Han, is with the potential of you know, a possible another shutdown or a possible second wave or what do you want to call it, you know, should I, if I was a dentist, should I be looking at doing a project or should I be, you know, looking at an addition or doing a new build or trying to figure out what I want to do? And if so, you know, what are my options and what's changed? Well, we've had people talk with us saying, you know, I live in a, my practice right now is in a leased space and I really don't have very many options. I can't do the systems that I want to do because the landlord won't let me deal with the HVAC equipment. I can't, you know, I can't close rooms off because the system won't allow me to do that. I don't have enough room. Pretty much, I either have, I live with what I have, or I go find someplace new and design a new project. But at the same time, we hear apprehension about, you know, should I be jumping into and doing a new project? And I guess I'd like to talk a little bit about that right now. You know, what's going on out there? What's going out in the construction world? Well, we've spoke a little bit about it, but the construction world costs are up, aren't they, Hon?
Yes, yes, they are. You know, I guess COVID-19 had become somewhat of a curse for a lot of us, and in some aspect, it's a blessing for others. Is that all because it's COVID-19? I got to do this and this and that is going to cost you, the consumer, more for the same service. So that become a curse for us as a consumer, but a, you know, a blessing for those who provide the services. I still, again, the things that are controlling what we can do and cannot do are, you know, it's not within our power to control, simply because it's all governmental, it's all politics. You know, we can simply say, hey, I am not going to do that, and then you'll be fine. You know, hopefully we're not getting into a type of society where you do what we told you or we're going to take you out to the back of the barn, okay? So we have to still live within a, you know, a rule and order type of society. I'm hoping that our lawmakers and so on are rational thinker. That again, if they're looking at a potential shutdown, they give us the exceptions that can allow us all to still function. Because again, it may be non-essential, but to who? You still gotta eat. You still gotta have a house. You gotta still pay the bill. And you gotta still take care of your family. So, hell yes, it's essential for you. Okay, so it's gonna be a battle. But what can you do in turn when you talk about you know, having whether you do a project or you don't do a project and so on? I think it's we are there. You know, if you can't do it all in a, let's say a, you're gonna do a build out. Typically take you 3 to 4 months because of COVID and limitations of materials, transportations and manpower and all that stuff. It might take you 6 to 7 months. So the cost to do a project will go up. You know, the only person that that know or could help you will probably be your accountant. They know what you're worth, what your asset, and of course you do too. And they can advise you on that, whether it's the right time, it's the right thing, and so on. We do have clients that come and say, I own my own practice. I own my own building. You know, because I want to do this and that to address COVID, and physically it doesn't make sense for me to invest into the building to bring it up to, you know, to a standard where it, you know, where it can address COVID infections and spread and all that stuff, because it doesn't make a financial sense to do that. So what should I do? Build a new building? You know, it's, we can certainly talk about buildings, what you need and things like that, but at the, you know, but the bottom line is how much it's going to cost you. And that there, you have to figure out what kind of financial, you know, standards you're in, so that way you can make the decision accordingly. Yeah, labor is up, material is up, but there is certainly a lot of different ways to do things that can minimize the cost, minimize the type of material, and things like that. So
yeah, there's options, Juan. You're exactly right, yeah. And you hit on the subject. But, you know, the other thing is don't fool yourself in thinking that prices are going to come down. It's going to be a long time before prices come down. We experience it at the gas pumps, don't we? How fast does that gas price go up? You know,
$0.30 a shot.
There's a hint that somebody got sick at a refinery. Okay, prices, you know, go up 50%. You know, you got 50-cent rise in gas. But it takes weeks for it to come down, sometimes longer. Well, it's the same thing with other systems and materials. For example, wood prices. Wood prices are not going to be coming down for quite a while. And it may be well over a year or longer, because the reason why wood prices are up is the manufacturing facilities, the mills have been shut down over a year ago. There were shutdowns that were stopping and closing plants, and eventually the stock ran out, and that's why prices are going up. It's just a scarcity of material. There's not enough mills to be able to produce the amount of material necessary to keep it on the shelf. And you don't
supply
just
demand.
You just don't open a sawmill overnight. It's not like you go in and flick the switch, turn the lights back on, and you're putting 2x4s out the other end in a couple hours. That doesn't happen. And so you're going to see construction materials, and that's true for all construction materials, but you're going to see a lot of construction materials that are going to stay high for at least a year. Now, can you wait a year? That's only an answer that you can – we can't answer that for you. You may be able to. But most likely, you're not going to be able to wait a year. The other thing is the availability of workers. Construction companies are busy, and all indications they're going to stay busy and continue to be busy for several years. So, you know, that's another option. You know, you can say, well, I'll wait a year until the materials come down. Well, that might be fine. You wait a year for the materials to come down, but your contractor or the builders that are out there, they're still busy. Their prices are going to be high because they are busy. Just supply and demand dictates that. And so it's not really going to benefit you to wait, because people are not going to become less busy. Actually, they're going to become more busy, if that's a term we could use. And Han, we've always made the determination, right, that on a project, about half of the cost of the project is materials and the other half is labor. So the one you're going to affect is material cost. Maybe it might come down in a year, but your labor cost probably is going to go up even more within that year. So financially, it doesn't make sense to wait. No one can really, I guess, I haven't seen a good argument, have we, Han, that says it makes sense to wait as opposed to do something now. If you're in need to do an addition or to do a project or to move to a different location because where you're at won't allow you to do the systems or procedures that you want to do, then you got to do it. And even if it means that, yeah, we're looking at COVID and having to work through that. Now, Han, you brought up a very, very important point. And I want to talk a little bit about that, in that there are systems that are not the conventional systems that maybe would be less expensive that can be utilized in your project. So just because 2x4s and wood are up by, you know, double or even more than that, does that mean you have to use 2x4s? No. There are several other material systems that you can use to build your walls with. You can build them out of steel studs. You could build them out of ICFs, which is insulated concrete forms. You can build them out of other systems that are out there that might not be experiencing that kind of cost increase or lack of availability because they're not the normal run-of-the-mill thing that everybody needs to get their hands on. So when you deal with somebody like, you know, like ourselves, that can help you investigate that and look at that with a good builder, you might be able to realize a savings, at least, in the alternate systems that are out there. So there's more than one way to accomplish the problem. Juan?
That is true. I mean, when you look at the building, this is the phrase, you know, there's more than one way to skin the cat. That's very true in design and building. Again, this is one of those unique area or market sector where costs normally don't go down. Okay, material costs normally don't go down. Labor costs normally don't go down. So you have to look at and say, you know, you have to look at the long term and pull the trigger when you can, not wait until when the price drop. But when it comes to, if you have, we haven't run into a client that has unlimited financial resource, not yet. Okay. One of you may out there maybe, but maybe in that position, but we have not had a client that come and say, here's a blank check, you know, make it sing. So if there is things that are not available, such as, okay, so drywall had jumped up 20% for, let's say, hypothetically, and it's the lead time is 6 weeks before you can get it. Because, like, I can't, 6 weeks means that there's 6 weeks of nothing happening because you need to have this particular product up so that everybody else can finish the project. So you have to know what else is available, and we certainly have enough experience to share and to make things happen. It may cost you a bit more to go with one material in terms of material and labor, but it will save you, you know, a stagnation of 6 weeks lead time. Okay, so there is plenty of things that can be done. There's plenty of building system that are not part of your normal, carpentry package, where your local contractor only know how to cut the 2x4, slam it up, put them drywall, and off you go. There's a lot of different building system and material that will do the same, that can be done in a modular way. That will save you time, and it might allow you some write-off as well. So there's always a way and options to get things done. Jim?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've used some very unique materials, inexpensive materials. And I guess it's good for our listeners to understand and know that good quality materials don't have to be expensive. Good quality finishes don't have to be expensive. They just have to be used in a unique and proper way. When you do that, you can have great systems that survive, that function very well, that are attractive, and they're also, you know, cost effective. even in times like these when we're dealing with high prices on some materials. We'll look at the other options that are out there and put those into play, working with the builder and saying, okay, what about this system or what about that system or what about, for example, a SIPS panel. A SIPS panel wall system is a unique wall system that provides a very effective insulation envelope that seals your building, and it's structural. It has minimal amount of wood in it, meaning structural wood, meaning 2x4s or 2x6s or 2x whatevers that right now are at extremely high price. It utilizes a more available and less expensive product known as OSB, which is called oriented strand board, along with foam, both of which are readily available. I've not seen any place where you couldn't get OSB board. They didn't shut those plants down because OSB board is made from the leftovers of wood production, well, timber production, and wood chips, and it's all put together and glued and created, and you've got this wall panel system that is extremely structurally sound, extremely environmentally friendly, and extremely good on keeping your cold air in, or you know, the cold air out and the hot air in, and so it provides a pretty unique alternate to a 2x4 or 2x6 wood wall, something we'd look at, we'd investigate. And just so happens in that particular system that you can put it up in about half or even less than half the time that a regular wood stud wall goes up in. So you might even realize the substantial savings on your construction time. But those are the kind of things that are out there that are available that a good design team should be investigating for you right now if you're looking at doing a project or doing something to your facility. Now, your question is, okay, if we're dealing with travel restrictions or if we're dealing with, COVID kind of issues, can we even physically even do a project, meaning – can I work with my design team? We hear that a lot. We hear that a lot. And, you know, how do we do that? And the answer is, of course, Han, yes, we can do that, right?
Yes. Yes, the answer is yes.
How do we do that with you in Florida, me in Ohio, and our client is in, I don't know, let's say Kansas? How do we do that?
It's called technology. For me to have a conversation with Jim, I'm trying not to be sarcastic or anything like that. For me to have a conversation with Jim, we have a number of options. Okay, I can either call him on the phone, or I can send him an email, I can send him a text. We can do a FaceTime, we can do Zoom, we can do Skype, we can do a lot of things so that communication is not a hindrance in getting the work done. Okay. Again, I am located in Florida. Our project is spread out across the United States. You go like, how do you manage those projects? Again, technologies. In my crew, Jim and I have about the same number of years in our career. I can tell you that I work on projects throughout the United States. In my career, I would say that I probably only actually set foot on maybe 20% of the projects that I've worked on. Everything else is on paper. Okay? Because again, there's cost. There's a cost factor in everything. Labor cost is high on any building project. So if you can minimize the amount of time spent on a certain task, whether the requirement of flying there, be on site or do virtual, because virtual costs you less, so therefore that becomes a more are, you know, more prevalent, common practice. Something that we have not done, at least for me, Jim might. I don't like heights, but our buildings are usually okay. You don't see me do the daredevil things like walking on the plank on the edge of the building. Okay. When it comes to climbing on top of the building and inspecting the edge of the building and stuff like that, I think I'm going to learn how to fly drones. Okay? Because technology allows us to do so much, to get so many things done that normally a human being could not, or can be done, but it's too dangerous. So technology allows us to do a lot of things. Okay? Yeah, a project can be shared, digitally, email, Skype, whatever. If you are in a design, it takes time to design. Okay, it does. It takes time to design. So if you're thinking about it, there is a component that called time that you're going to spend before you can build anything. It's in the design process. So that all that can be done without human interaction face to face. So COVID, we're not worried about it. It's have not attacked us electronically yet. Okay, so we can get done. We can get things done without being affected. Right? It doesn't slow us down. Jim?
Yeah, I guess what the easy way to say is we don't care about no stinking COVID when it comes to us trying to do the design work for you as one of our clients. And Johan is exactly right. I mean, we can hire a drone service to be able to photograph, videotape, monitor anything and everywhere. And they're available all over the country and actually all over the world, but all over the country to be able to do that. We'll do a Skype or a Zoom call. We'll share our screen. Three of us or four of us or whomever you want as part of the team, the whole team can be included at one time, and no one has to physically sit down around a table and risk any infectious transfer. We can look at the design work. We can look at the options. We can look at everything and basically go about our business. So when it comes to that, we're pretty good in that regard. We don't have an issue or concern. And like Han said, at any given time, you need to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us on the phone or a Skype call or a Zoom call. So that's easy. You don't even have to worry about travel restrictions in that regard, you know. Sure. There are some times when maybe we have to physically be at some location and then we'll make that happen. But those are actually the smallest 1% of the work effort that we have to do. The rest of the time, you know, we're at our desk, we're in our specific locations in the country, you're at your location. So as long as we have electricity and we have a computer, we're good to go.
Yeah, technology. Trust me, I wanted to.
Internet,
Skype,
Zoom, we got to have that internet connection. Yeah,
that's right. But the Skype and Zoom and all that stuff, it might be new to a lot of people, but it's rather it's an old tool. 25 years ago, I worked on a project for a German client, and they were in Germany, and I was in Dearborn, Michigan, and we did a design charrette using back then is called teleconference. We used a camera to show inside of a building model that we built so that they can see what things look like. 3D is back then digital 3D was not in thing yet. Technologies can. There is zillions of ways to communicate It may not be at the face-to-face level that we all like to, but to get the work done, there's a number of ways it can get done. So that's the easy part. Okay, the construction, all that stuff, sometimes it needs for us to look at it. But again, technology have becoming the mainstream tools that we can use to see what we need to see, look at, and then resolve all the things that we need to resolve. So there's a lot of ways to take care of things, and there's a lot of solutions and problems that can be resolved pretty easily to technology.
Yeah, without a doubt. So don't be afraid of that. You know, that's not an issue. That's not going to hold. That shouldn't hold you back whatsoever. We're ready and able to be able to accomplish whatever you need to accomplish. So, you know, if you have a question, if you have a thought, or if you have something you've been thinking about, I guess we would encourage you, now's the time to do it. Don't, you know, if it's not with us, that's okay. You know, if you want to use somebody else, that's fine too. But at the same time, you know, don't put it off, because I think there is a situation that things might get even busier than what they are now. And, you know, if we get a reoccurrence of a bunch more COVID cases, you might be seeing yourself in a situation where you can't get maybe the systems that you need. You know, you can't get the UV lights because everybody else is trying to install UV lights. You can't get things like maybe the, you know, aerosol solutions, because everybody else is trying to do that. So, you know, I guess take that. Go ahead.
Let me throw a couple more things in there. I think you know, some of the things that we've been asked is, well, you guys are located, you know, across the country. Would it be better that I work with my local architect? The answer is yes and no. If you have an architect that do not have the experience or the know-how, then you are, I'm not saying that you're gonna set yourself up for failure. You're gonna set yourself up for frustration, because they don't have the skill set that is needed. Again, to collaborations, to coordinations, it's what's important is that you put the right people on your team, no matter where they're at. Okay? Again, you know, you have, if you look globally, there's a lot of really, really high-end, very, very sophisticated, complex buildings, skyrise, that are being built, and, you know, in other part of the world that are being handled by architects on the other side of the globe. So, you know, that is no longer a challenge, okay? Now, I had the fortune to be involved in some of those, so it's not a salesman thing. It's a fact. It can be done. The important thing is have the right people on your project. If there's, you know, again, things, topic like negative pressure rooms and stuff like that are being tossed around still. If you really seriously look at it, if you feel as a project, as the owner, as a dentist, if you believe that negative pressure room have to be part of your practice, not just any Joe that can tell you, yeah, we just make this room a negative pressure. If infection control is what you want to deal with, have the right team member that can address that for you. Just not simply somebody say, "We'll make your operatory or your treatment room negative pressure." Okay, it has to be the right ingredient. It have to be the right solution, not just simply a solution. Jim.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You have to be careful that you're doing the right thing, not just the end thing or the thing that somebody has told you is the thing to do. You got to do your homework. And the first question I would ask of anyone, and you can ask that of us if we're working on your project, why should I do this? And you better get a good answer. you better get an answer that makes sense to you. If you know, Han and I can't describe to you why you should do this particular thing, then we failed. And, well, I can tell you, Han and I don't like to fail. And
no, I don't.
But it goes for everyone else, too. If they can't tell you why you need to do this, and that could be if someone's trying to sell you something, somebody's trying to convince you that this is the system that you should use, or this is the direction you should go. If they can't give you the information and the reasoning why it makes sense to do that, then don't do it. I mean, it's really,
don't do it
because it's not right.
I was reading something today, and it kind of bothered me a little bit. UV light had been, and it was on the topic of using UV light. And it didn't specifically say in what application and where. But the response of some of the participants in the conversation was rather cavalier and offsetting. And they say, well, it's a gimmick. No, it's a technology that had been used for over 100 years in numerous of different industry. So it's not just something that because COVID-19, somebody throw, you know, the phrase UV light sterilization out and try to capitalize on it. It is a proven technology that has been used for almost 100 years in numerous of application. Because we always try to stay on the on a conservative side. I'm just nut and crazy about the things that could go wrong. So I try to do the research to make sure that we are recommending a certain technology that would yield more positive result and value than negative outcome. Is that the only thing that we know about that are cons when it deal with UV light irradiation is that it's bad for your eyes, so it should not be in a room that's being occupied and a human being can look at. It's bad for your skin, so it should not be exposed to a human being. But also it has it can degrade the plastic compound in materials around us. But in terms of what is the degrading duration, nobody knows. That's including the manufacturer. So it might break down your plastic in 10 years, 20 years. We don't know. But we know that it does affect your plastic material to some extent. But when people make comments such that, oh, it will destroy your plastic, so no, it cannot be used. Or it's a gimmick. No, it should not be used. It's really offsetting because.
Right. Well, actually, Han, it's not. It's more upsetting in that they're uneducated as to the system. Okay, you've got to use the right kind of UV light in the right application for the right system to be able to solve the problem. Now, most people don't know, but there's actually several types of UV light. There's A, B, and C, okay, that are the common ones. And of those three, only one is the one that should work in a system to sterilize, and that's the C version, okay? A and B, they're the wrong wavelength, okay? And I can go into all the technology and all the science behind that, and we don't have time for that. But the UVC is the one that is the right wavelength that will actually destroy the virus because it destroys the molecular DNA of the virus itself, and it isn't able to reproduce. Okay, now that's the same thing that will also destroy your eyes and your skin, so you can't actually have it exposed to a human. Now, you can say, well, there's other systems. They talk about UV lights that are, you know, hung from the ceiling that are part of fans or lights or ventilation. Lots of, yeah, different systems, different things. Well, those all can be evaluated whether they work or don't work. But the best place to put it is in your ductwork, buried inside of a metal ductwork, hidden from any human eye or skin exposure, and it's killing all the pathogen that go by it in the airstream. Okay, that system works. So if anyone that's out there says the UV is a fad and it doesn't work, they don't even have a knowledge of the UV system that works. They're thinking about maybe little hand wands or little lights that you run over surfaces that you can buy on QVC. Okay, well, yeah, those don't work. They don't work at all. But there are UV systems, and like Han said, they've been in use for over 100 years to sterilize, and we're using the right word there, sterilize. It cleans and kills all biological matter that goes by it. So that's all the viruses, that's all the pathogens, that's all the allergens, that's anything that goes by will get destroyed molecularly. So yeah, we've done quite a lot of research in that stuff, so we understand. You have to use the right system and the right thing in the right place, and if you don't, it may look good on paper, but at the end of the day, it doesn't protect you, doesn't protect your patients, doesn't protect your staff. And
Jim, it was a conversation out of context.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it makes it, you know, because the audience is their peers, other dentists, you know, those who have done their own research and stuff like that, would know the value of that, you know, of those comments, but again. You know, we've done our research. Jim and I have. We compare a lot of different systems and things of that nature before we share it. Because first of all, when we share it, it's our reputation that's on the table. So we don't take it lightly. And again, if something, you know, if a system that'll present to us for consideration, we tear it apart. We look at it, and if we don't feel comfortable about it, we will share that. And we would, I mean, sure that we are not comfortable and we don't recommend it. You know, we're almost like, for us, we look at, we are your first line of defense as well as your last line of defense. Because yep. our reputation is also on the table for, you know, for scrutiny. So we try to do our homework and, you know, fad is something that I don't believe in because it's, you know, it has a very short expiration date, and I don't think it brings you any value. So if there's anything that we put into the buildings, into our design, it has to last way beyond your ownership. Jim?
Excellent. Well, we've gone through, we burn up the hour plus. Hopefully it's been informative. Just as a side note, informational, we won't have a show next week because, of course, that's election day. So, you know, everybody get out and vote, do your part. Thankfully, we live in a country where we're allowed to. And so, you know, that's my public service announcement for the evening. But again, you know, thank you for sharing your time with us. If you have any questions or any thoughts or would like to review anything, feel free. Give us a call, get a hold of us, send us an email. You can do all that through our website. So with that, Han, I'll let you have the last word.
You know, I forgot until you mentioned that our next show is on election day. Okay, I don't want to get into politics, but dang it, all of you, get out there and vote. Okay, whatever you want to do, but vote. Meanwhile, I enjoy the hour. Thanks for spending that hour with us. I hope everybody stays safe, stay healthy. Until next time, have a great evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.